This is Radio Bath. Radio Bath.
You're listening to Radio Bath. It is lunch with Claire Harris and it is 12:10. How are you today? Are you feeling good on your Monday? Well, I'm here with your dose of Monday motivation. And we're going to be talking about lots of different things, some local stories. Going to be talking about ageism later on. But in this hour, I'm focusing on anger. And I have the wonderful Allegra Stone in the studio with me today, and she is a workplace mediator, a coach, an author, and we're going to be talking about anger and trying to understand anger a little bit, and you know, maybe hopefully getting some tips from her about how to manage anger, our own anger in the workplace. So that is coming up soon, but first let's have some Ace of Base with The Sign. And that was Ace of Base with The Sign. That's a bit of a classic, isn't it? Back from 1994. This is Lunch with Claire Harris. It's 12:14 and you're listening to Radio Bath. So today I have the wonderful Allegra Stone in the studio with me. So Allegra, you and I, we met many years ago, didn't we? When we were at UE doing our coaching qualifications. And then when I got this show, I just thought, right, I've got to get you in because you are just, I'm going to say, a wonderful mind and a good friend as well. So Allegra, can you tell me just a little bit kind of about what you do? And yeah.
Oh, thanks for that introduction, Claire. It's really great to be here as well. So I'm a workplace mediator. So I specialise in dealing with conflicts in the workplace. So relationship breakdowns, communication problems, that sort of thing. And I also do coaching. I coach doctors in particular, but others as well across range of sectors. Mm. And I'm particularly interested in anger management because it's one of the things that's come up a lot in the coaching that I do.
Yeah. And is that a thing? Cause I was thinking about this as I was driving in today. Have you seen an increase in that, you know, particularly over COVID and, you know, these last kind of tricky couple of years? Or has it always been something that kind of bubbles away?
Yeah, I think it's something that's always bubbles away, unfortunately. And I think sometimes now with the distance between people, so working online, working from home, and not really having many opportunities to have informal chats has made things a bit more challenging. So I would say there probably is a bit of an increase, but it was bubbling along anyway.
Yeah, because it does. In many ways, I do feel, but there were particular points during COVID where I felt like the world was quite angry. And it felt like that's, you know, almost a reaction to the fear, I don't know, anger feels like quite a proactive kind of emotion, doesn't it? And sometimes probably more comfortable than fear. That I was noticing it even walking around on the streets or in the car, you know, suddenly people just seemed a lot more aggro. But it's interesting what you said about the remote working and less connection can lead to more feelings of anger. I mean, how does the anger get on your radar? Are people coming to you knowing that they've got anger management issues or?
No, and that's one of the things that I'm have been really curious about, because when I began coaching, I thought it would be mainly about stress and thinking about the pandemic, it would be that. But actually, a lot of people are coming to see me either post-mediation or for coaching, and they've got anger issues, but there's something that probably doesn't come out until a few sessions in, because it is quite a taboo emotion to have. So I was actually quite surprised at how many people feel angry and how much it's really going on.
So do you think people are suppressing it, you know, for it to come out in kind of, you know, two or three sessions? So people don't want to, or don't want to feel it, or don't want to identify with it. So yeah, is that suppressing it, avoiding it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think they know they feel angry, but it is something that is a bit taboo. So you can say, so you go into the workplace, say, I feel stressed, or I feel anxious, or I feel depressed, but you can't really say, I feel angry today, can I have my sick note? But it is just just another emotion. So yeah, I think people do find it quite difficult to perhaps tell other people that that's what they're mainly feeling, because it can be a little bit perhaps socially unacceptable, I would say, particularly in the workplace.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And let's dive more into kind of that almost like the socially acceptable kind of hierarchy of emotions and why it's taboo and how to open up those conversations. But first, let's have a little bit of music. Let's have a bit of, oh, this is Rod Stewart's newest song and it's called I Can't Imagine. And then we'll pick up the conversation afterwards.
Great.
And that was Rod Stewart with I Can't Imagine. I'm picking up the conversation with Allegra shortly. After a bit of E17, and we're talking about anger. And just tell me, is anger ever acceptable in the workplace? And why do you think anger is a taboo emotion? I'd love to hear from you and join the conversation. So you can text me, text the word bath, followed by your message to 80011, or you can email studio@radiobath.com. Or you can send me a tweet or at Radio Bath DAB. So I've got Allegra in the studio for a little while. So if you do want to join the conversation, do it. Do it now. Up next, we've got a bit of E17 with Stay Another Day. And that was Stay Another Day by E17. We're really getting in the Christmassy mood now. It's the first Monday of December, isn't it? I'm not going to ask you if you're ready for Christmas, Allegra, because you might ask me and the answer is a big fat no. Just about ready for today, let alone for Christmas. So you're listening to Lunch with Claire Harris and I have Allegra Stone in the studio. And we've just started our conversation about anger. Allegra is a mediator, a workplace mediator, a coach. And anger is something that comes up quite a lot for you in your experience. And I was just wondering, I mean, what is anger about? I mean, why do we feel angry? Yeah, tell me.
Well, we as humans, obviously living in this complex modern society now, but anger did have a purpose for our prehistoric ancestors, which was around protecting your mate, your family, your tribe, the place where you lived, and from predators. And so to be angry was a form of basically protecting what was really, really important to you. And even now, if you are angry, if you become angry and it's to protect, so shouting at someone not to cross the road, for example, and, you know, being angry in that way, that's a positive thing. But unfortunately, when we now get triggered to be angry in all sorts of different ways, and a lot of these can be inappropriate because it's not really about protecting.
So it goes down, so it goes back to kind of that survival, those survival instincts.
Yeah.
To now, and I suppose, we don't have that much to protect or that much that we need to defend anymore. But then where does all the anger go? Does it just find another place?
Yeah, and people get triggered in all sorts of different ways. So it may be a childhood experience, like a teacher who happened to, you know, say something in class that was perhaps humiliating. And then you may then have a pattern that will match over time as an adult. And you may not even know why you're being triggered. But it's all these sorts of experiences that can potentially become triggers. And it's my work with my coaches to try and help people unpick that and also have strategies for managing it, anger when it actually does pop up.
Oh, okay. So there's acknowledgement that anger is, I mean, it's an emotion we all feel, but I suppose for some people, it's acknowledging that anger is rising a bit too often and it's not always appropriate. And then through coaching, you help them to discover, well, what are those triggers? Because if you can understand them, then you can work with it.
That's right. Yeah. And there's sort of two ways of looking at managing anger. One is the whole understanding yourself and what's going on, but also knowing that when it does occur, because it will occur, even though you may be more self-aware, in that moment, what can you do? What strategies can you have to manage that experience of that flooding of anger at that particular point in time, which is slightly different to sort of more analytical work that you might do to prevent those little explosions, if you like, happening within you emotionally.
I mean, it's interesting. On the weekend, I went to Harry Potter World with my family and it was awesome. But we got to the hotel really late and the kids were absolutely exhausted. So we got into our hotel room. We had a family room and the kids just, you know, fell straight to sleep. And then me and my husband were like, it's really hot in here. And then we realised that the valve on the radiator was broken, so you couldn't switch the radiator off. And I mean, it was pumping. Mm-hmm. So we ended up just going, oh, okay, well, we'll just leave it because we're not going to change rooms now. And we'll just all go to sleep. And we kept the windows open. But then as the night went on, it was way too hot. The windows were open. We could hear loads of noise. And it's incredible because, you know, I started to build a bit of a story in my mind about this and going, you know, don't tell me they didn't know that this valve was broken. And, you know, the cleaner, when she came in, she would have felt the heat when she hit that room. And this whole story. And then, you know, while I was lying in bed, like sweating every single morsel of liquid from my body, I was thinking, when I go down to reception, I'm going to talk to them about this, this and this. And, you know, we went down to reception and she said, well, if you called us, we could have switched it off from here. But what I found so interesting, you know, and she gave, you know, she was like, you know, give you some bonus points, but how I started creating stories to justify feeling so annoyed by kind of my discomfort. Probably I was there with the kids and maybe that protection thing came in. I don't know. Maybe I was just very hot and bothered. But it's those stories that also go alongside anger as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And it sounds like it's really interesting that little anecdote that you told, because you were feeding the anger with your thoughts.
Yes.
So thoughts and feelings play into one another. So the more you tell yourself, you know, that you've been aggrieved in some respect, the more yes. angry you're likely to feel. So that totally makes sense as a really good example of how you can build up anger within you.
Mm. Yeah, because I was fueling it. I was adding more and more. You know, it went from it's broken to they must have known and they have actively deceived me.
Yeah, and the other thing is that heat, so a really hot day and feeling really overheated can make people feel more angry anyway. Just physiologically, that increase in body temperature does, excluding the fact that the radiator issue is there, can make you feel angry anyway.
Yeah. Well, often anger is like that red face, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. You feel that kind of temperature. So is anger also about injustice? Because that's what I always think of when I think of anger. You know, and if I'm feeling angry, I kind of try and think, well, what's the injustice? Is this the injustice or is it a historical injustice that this is now triggered? Do you think that plays a role in it as well?
Yeah, I mean, it may be for you. You know, injustice is a trigger. So everyone will have a different trigger depending on, you know, their beliefs, the way they were brought up, their experiences, and they can be quite subtle, the differences between people. But for you, it does sound like actually injustice could make you quite angry. And that actually is a form of protection because actually it could be that you would act on that in a positive way. Instead of becoming angry at somebody, perhaps act on that by, I don't know, joining a group or, you know, some sort of cause or charity to perhaps address those injustices.
Well, what are other common triggers?
Yeah, so a lot of times when I work with clients, it tends to be about disrespect or feeling disrespected. And you and I were discussing that earlier, weren't we? Because you know some people where that's also the case. But yeah, very, very, very common to feel that somebody is putting you down or making you feel small. And it's sort of aggravating a part of you where you feel, you know, really annoyed by how they are perceiving you and making you feel small effectively.
Yeah, and I can see in the workplace there's lots of opportunities where people may feel that way because, you know, they're very dynamic and challenging workplace relationships, aren't they? Mm. Okay, well, let's have some more music and then maybe talk a little bit about, you know, some tips for managing our anger when it does start to boil over. Let's have George Ezra up next with Casio.
Made locally in Bath. This is Radio Bath.
And that was those wonderful Bath Boys, Tears for Fears, with their new song, The Tipping Point. And I think they've got a new album coming out in February. You're listening to Lunch with Claire Harris, and I have Allegra Stone in today, and we are talking about anger, you know, kind of how it shows up and some of the impacts of it. Allegra is a coach and a workplace mediator, so she is an expert on the subject and helps many people deal with anger and get to understand their anger more. Allegra, when we talk about anger, I mean, are there different types and what are they?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are three different types. There's physical, mm-hmm. verbal, and passive aggressive. And in the workplace, it does tend to be more in the passive aggressive area.
Yeah.
Because that's all about smothering and suppressing the verbal and the physical anger. So it comes out in different ways and tends to be something that's a lot more hostile and lasts longer, whereas verbal and physical anger can sort of spark off and be over quite quickly. But the passive aggressive can be lengthier and have a sort of a quite lowering effect for relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I just when you described that, I just thought, yeah, if you had an angry exchange with somebody, then you kind of deal with it, don't you?
Yeah.
Whether you're on the receiving end or the other side, and then it dissipates. But that passive aggressive, I mean, we've all had it where you have a conversation with somebody and then you walk away and you think, hold on a minute, were they being really passive? Were they trying to make a point there? And it's quite hard in the moment sometimes with passive aggressive behaviour to always call it out. And often I pick it up on, like, on reflection when I've walked away and then I thought, I should have said something then, or I should have, you know, called it out.
Yeah, it is really difficult to pick up on, particularly in the workplace. So if people are feeling something, feeling a bit uncomfortable, then it's very hard to actually say, you know, this has happened, because it's not dramatic. And somebody could argue that it hadn't actually happened at all. And so things like stonewalling and ghosting and gossiping, things like that are actually really difficult to get a grip on.
Mm. What's stonewalling again?
So really not actually communicating openly with somebody, perhaps not answering emails or waiting a long time before they answer. And basically, if a request is made of someone, they may just put it to the bottom of their list. And so it's a sort of, that's really passive aggressive, because it's all about not communicating openly.
And that transfers anger, doesn't it? I mean, just you describing that, if I was on the receiving end of that, then I think that would make me quite angry.
Yes, so, very frustrating for people, I think.
Yeah, so they're almost like projecting their anger onto the other person, and then they've got to deal with it one way or another. So I mean, are there any tips? I mean, you know, I know we haven't got a huge amount of time and this is how you help people in the coaching program over many weeks, but are there any tips or awarenesses that we could, you know, take from you today?
Yes, so definitely. I think people can think about their own anger, and that would be a really great place to start. So analysing when they do get angry, what is it that's causing that? Can they pinpoint exactly what those emotions are or those thoughts are that are leading to that point of feeling angry? And then it's really useful then to think about a pattern. Does it actually occur multiple times? And if so, that's great in a way, because you're then able to identify what it is that's actually triggering the anger. And then from that point, if you experience anger at another point, you can then ask yourself, okay, is it that trigger that I've thought about before that's happening here? And that's really helpful, because it enables you to analyse your anger in the moment, which distance yourself from it. And that time between being triggered and thinking about it gives you a moment to really deal with that anger in a completely different way. So not being physically, verbally or passive aggressive to anybody. You can then start being a lot more logical, a lot more rational, and really step back from the part of the brain that's really triggered, which is called the amygdala, and go right into the thinking part of the brain, which is so helpful for anger management.
It's that difference, isn't it, between reacting and responding. And from what you're saying, just that little time of reflection can just slow down that process so you have more of a choice rather than just blowing up or just acting in a not so considered way.
Yeah, and there's so many other ways to manage that frustration that you're feeling by being a lot more assertive and empowered about the way that you communicate rather than just being hostile and angry.
Mm. So that's a really interesting point as well, isn't it? There are choices, and it's not that the anger, because I think some anger can give us an indication of something needs to change,
that's
or
exactly
there's an
right,
issue.
Yeah.
So it can be a call to action, but it's that action in the right way and in a helpful and productive way for you and for others, isn't it?
That's exactly right, yeah. And knowing that there's no reason to not express yourself, but perhaps expressing yourself in a different way can be so useful.
Mm. I bet it's so rewarding, the work that you do for your clients, and to be able to see that kind of that empowerment.
Yeah, absolutely. And being able to help people to have much more healthy and happy and positive relationships is really key. And knowing that they will change and really enable, good energy to be flowing between people as opposed to some habits perhaps that they've got into for a little while.
Brilliant. Awesome. So, Allegra, if people want to get in contact with you, either on the workplace mediation or for coaching, how do they find you?
Well, I've got a website. So it's allegrastonemediation.co.uk. And I'm on LinkedIn for businesses. And yeah, I'm more than happy to answer any communications that come through. Be great.
Brilliant. Well, if this is an issue for either for you or you notice it in your teams or in your company, I can't recommend Allegra high enough. She is just brilliant and it's worth having a conversation. Let's fire up that Christmas spirit now and have Christmas in Harlem. You're listening to Radio Bath. It's Lunch with Claire Harris.
This is Radio Bath.